Vinny, you a Zeppelin fan?
Yeah, me too.
She went to their concerts.
Really? Your mom? Your mom saw Led Zeppelin in person? We're playing Led Zeppelin tonight because they're kind of back together, you know. It's our musical theme. Vinny Petrarca and George Smart are here. George has launched this website called TriangleModernistHouses.com. Some of Vinny's stuff is featured on it, along with, how many architects do you have on there now?
About 70.
70 architects.
All local.
In the Triangle. That's amazing. When you drive past a McMansion, what goes through your head?
No, everybody's different. And, if they want to, if you want to spend your money and do that, I can't really tell you not to. I think a lot of the architects here in the Triangle, and, we hear in different lectures and stuff like that, you're trying to lead by example. And everybody's got different needs, different wants, different theories on stuff. And
okay. Earlier in this show, the name Henry Kamphefner was used, the first dean of the design school.
Wouldn't be happy.
What would the dean say about a $2.5 million house with a doorway that stretches 400 feet in the air and goes, it's all on the side of the street, so it looks as big as it possibly can? What would the dean say?
He'd probably say, I hope that architect wasn't in my school.
That would be the least of what he would say.
I never got to meet Henry Kamphefner. I've only heard, his legendary, tales about him from, there's so many mentors in the area that have passed down these stories. And, when we were in studio, they would give us a little map and we'd go discover these buildings.
Really?
Kamphefner, he was a powerhouse.
On the website, there's a dissertation by a fellow named David Brook, who wrote it just a couple of years ago, on Henry Kamphefner's life. And it talks about a number of his philosophies and his reaction to, modern construction as it came along, and these McMansions, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great read, actually, for a dissertation.
I bet it is. My first Henry Kamphefner experience, I was doing a story. They said, there's this guy who used to be the dean of the design school. Go do a big feature on him.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I pull up to his house. Yes, at the Henry Kamphefner house, which, if you know anything about modern, is like a shrine.
That's right.
He is out there. It's got to be 97 degrees, and he has basically a pickaxe, and he is smashing apart the little wooden dividers in his driveway. He says, these things have been here 40 years, and it's finally time to get rid of them. He's sweating bullets. He's 80 years old. I'm thinking, could we do the interview? It's maybe he just did it. Wow. That was cool.
Well, there's another book, too, that Roger Clark just put together on the School of Design called The Kamphefner Years. And it's a collection of letters and essays that Bob Burns, another professor, just recently passed away.
Yeah, the late, great Bob Burns.
Yeah. He'd been working on a book for the School of Design. And, the stories that you flip through here from Steve Schuster, who, he's a local architect doing the Civic Center, who wanted to be a football player. And it talks about how he brought the football coach into Henry Kamphefner's office. And the coach and Kamphefner kind of debated where he was going to spend his time. Kamphefner won, but. And he was on scholarship.
I bet he did. One of the problems facing a lot of modernist houses in the Triangle is they're getting old. Maybe the greatest modernist house, the Catalano House, just fell into the ground about 5 years ago. The Pascal House is questionable.
Pascal House is up for sale now. Preservation North Carolina is helping to try to find someone who will buy it and preserve it. It's really a fascinating structure. It was designed by James Fitzgibbon.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk through it, and it's like really kind of walking through...
cork floors, I recall.
Yep.
And no air conditioning, and it's never hot for some strange reason.
And it's never hot.
Because the guy knew what he was doing, I guess.
That's right.
And the heating is kind of forced heating in the floors. Now, that's all broken now. But during its time, it was like rocket science for the area.
How do we make sure that more Catalano houses, debacles don't occur.
Well, this is really the reason. The Catalona House was the reason I started the site. I mean, I've lived in Raleigh or nearby all my life, and I never heard about the Catalona House until about 5 years after it was demolished. So that means to me that there's so many structures out here that if I don't actually make the effort to chronicle these for the future, they're going to get destroyed. My goal is in the website to get them all up there so people will know they exist and they can be saved if possible, or at least we'll know about them before they go.
George Smart and Vinny Petrarca are our guests. Here are your numbers. 860-WPTF, 1-800-662-7979, star 680. George, your mom worked at this radio station. That's not news to you, but it is to other people. Your mom worked at this radio station. I didn't know this until I saw it on the site. She did a documentary in the 60s called A is for Architecture.
And you can see it on Google Video now because I've uploaded it to the net.
Really?
It's an excellent, if dated, 30-minute film on the importance of architecture in everyday life. Most of us who are not in the profession tend to think of it as sort of esoteric field where people kind of work around with numbers and drawings and things like that, kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. Same sort of category we put brain surgeons into.
T-squares
Yeah, and funny little, symbols. But actually, architecture means a great deal to us. It really shapes how we experience a building. And we know this from the way churches were made 1,000 years ago to create a certain spiritual experience when you walk in,
mm-hmm.
to airports now that are designed to create a more relaxing experience because they know people are stressed, and also the most efficient way to move tens of thousands of people to different places more efficiently.
Vinny, what are people looking for in a house when they come to you? What matters to them?
I think a lot of times families have lots of different functions. You can have two of the people do two different things at the same time, but they want to be together. Like in my house, my wife, she does research and science, and she's constantly reading and, running off to someplace. But then I'm always making a model or making some building or, whatever. And we decided on a loft space so that we can do the same things at the same time. Lots of people like to be in one big space where there's niches and alcoves and, somebody can be making dinner while a child could be doing their homework, and somebody could be watching, a game on the TV. And, why do we all have to be in separate rooms for all these separate functions? And so a lot of times clients come to us and they, like I said, they really want to challenge their program. The program being, their range, the amount of rooms and the arrangement of the rooms. And by rearranging them and thinking of them differently, the house sort of responds to that and grows out of that sort of new pattern in a floor plan. I think people want to make, and then, with sustainability and green design, and you mentioned Frank's article as well.
Frank Harmon.
There's lots of choices out there, and engaging in an architect and making not only short-term budget decisions, but making long-term decisions. Like, if you're going to use photovoltaics or heat your hot water with the sun, most important thing that we're all know about, especially tonight, is how to collect and manage stormwater.
How do you? I know that's done in other places, and we never considered doing that, especially in this part of the United States. But now, do people come to you and say we need to collect rainwater?
Well, not at a residential scale. Well, actually, we'll talk about the Taylor House later on. But when I was in Frank's office, we designed a house for James Taylor, another school design grad, but in product design. And we built them a house in the Bahamas where the roof was upside down so that he can collect the water, because in the Bahamas you don't have any water.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on an island. You need to clean, wash dishes and drink water. And sometimes you get these specific cases, but, a lot of people now, especially with what's going on with the environment, are thinking of ways to collect water, mostly at a commercial scale. For instance, the North Carolina Botanical Garden, another one of Frank's projects, they're collecting, I think, all the storm water, all the water they can to sort of keep the garden going and not take any water from the system.
Mm-hmm.
through cisterns and different ways of creating aqueducts.
We're talking with George Smart and Vinnie Petrarca. They'll be here for the next segment. So if you want to get down to this, you got to do it now. Here are your numbers. 860-WPTF, 1-800-662-7979. You know the cell number, star 680. Just luck that we got that. It could have been anything. Star 680. That'll get you in. It's Bob Langford on PTF on Saturday night.